Hello everyone, I'm Barbara Eady from BarbaraEady.com, and today I'm speaking with Barthélemy Bolivar, an inspiring teacher and leader who has established a program called Haitian Schools Without Borders, a program designed to reach thousands of high school students in Haiti who have limited or not always have the access to education that we have here. So welcome, Barthélemy.
Thank you, Barbara, for inviting me.
Okay, so before we talk about your program, Haitian Schools Without Borders, can you tell us about your own story and how you, a young Haitian teacher, ended up in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada?
First of all, I have to say that when I was younger, like, I have a Canadian priest who came to Haiti to teach, and I was very privileged to get access to the quality of education they could provide at that time. So, meaning in elementary school, I went to Catholic school, in secondary school, I again went to Catholic school, and at university, I went again to a university, Catholic university. So, pretty much, I was like exposed to Canadian or Canadian vision of education. Mm-hmm. And I owe a lot to Canada in terms of education. Now, after my first degree, my undergrad in education, I have one of my professors, she's from Winnipeg, and at that time I was in the States. There was a job here, and I'm trying to move to Canada because I think the grass was there. Greener.
The grass was greener in Canada. Okay.
But you know what? It was like very interesting because there was a need for a teacher, bilingual, who can teach science, math, and English and French. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kind of profile in Manitoba is very difficult to target someone with this kind of training. Mm-hmm. And I think I was the one who fit the job, and I got the job. So I came here on the a work visa to teach.
Okay.
So I taught science technology in Saint-Pierre-Joli. So that was in 2002.
Okay. And so you've been here since 2002?
Since 2002.
So. Right. Okay. Yeah. So when did you create Haitian Schools Without Borders then? When did you create that program or come up with that idea? And what inspired you to do that?
First of all, the quality of education that I got.
Mm-hmm. In Canada?
In Haiti.
Oh, in
as
Haiti.
As a high school student, and, you know, during my classical years at school. So the thing is, I understand that only quality education can make a difference in someone's life. Not really just merely education, mm-hmm. but quality education.
Quality education.
Yes, because just education like that, sometimes that's not education. And it can be an illusion because you think you know, you think you understand, but you don't. Mm-hmm. And so I understand that there's a way I have to give something back to the community. And the best thing to do is through education. Because I think one of the heck with Haiti, it's not about government, it's not about policies, it's about like real education. And when I'm talking about real education, mm-hmm. that starts with a vision first. Mm-hmm. So be able to get into the nature and get reconciled with the nature. That's mm-hmm. the problem, because we are educated in a way to be like foreigner in our own.
You're educated to be like foreigners?
What foreigners
do you mean?
Meaning we are studying using, for example, other countries' example in our books.
Okay.
The education they're trying to provide, it's so far from Haitian reality.
Okay.
So that's why I say we are like foreigners our own country.
Okay.
Because we trying to think as French people, mm-hmm. sometimes as Canadian people, sometimes as American people.
And not as Haitian people.
Not as Haitian people. So it's not authentic.
Right.
So there's a lack of authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, there's no way Haitian people who like went through this system, educational system, can make any change. because the system is not designed for them in order to promote and to improve the environment, their communities.
Okay.
So first of all, we need the kind of education that can reconcile the Haitian with themselves and with their own environment, because we are living, unfortunately, in a country where every year we have hurricanes and things like that. It's like the cycle. It's like the same thing. The same thing with the fall, the spring, and the seasons.
Right.
So you have also hurricane seasons.
You get fall, spring, hurricane.
Hurricanes. Exactly. It's like a season. So, but think about that. So in our schools, there's no class. There's no module about how to get ready for this kind of catastrophe. You know. You don't have any module about like how to swim, and we're living in an island. There's no physical education, and mostly in secondary school you can find someone quoting the 17 classics people like Voltaire and like that, but they can't actually quote
Haitian literature.
They don't even know them. So for me, it's like really interesting to actually giving something back to the community, but not like just something, but something very authentic. A kind of education that can promote change and that can really transform this country. And it's just another way of thinking, like to work on the mental schemes. So that's where exactly Haitian Haitian School of Borders is rooted. But not only that, but since 2005-06 I was in the reflection of starting something, but I was thinking first to go there and open schools. And recently I understand that the best way to do it is through online education to reach out more people, because it should be a massive effort to get those to the students. So pretty much we start after the earthquake, but before the earthquake we were like
The earthquake in 2010.
2010, so we started in 2011. But before, way before, we were talking about how to provide good and quality education to all. That's the thing also, because in Haiti you have a kind of elitist education. Not like everybody can get access to something.
Right.
To quality education. So we're trying to say, hey, we see that the gap between who have and who don't have.
Right.
It's mainly about what quality education. That's the main thing. From the beginning, the beginning, you have when you try to address inequalities, those things start with families.
Right.
And poor families and rich families and middle class families. And students who can get access to books, those who can't. Students at home who can have parents, they can read with them, those who can't.
Right.
Students who can access to technology, iPhone, iPad, and you name it.
And those
students
who can.
So pretty much inequality starts with schooling.
Okay.
And I see that's where exactly we should start building a new society.
Right.
It's like giving to all the same kind of education. And no educational apartheid.
Right.
That's the thing too. Because why, like you see a world where like a small group, elite, has everything. Why? Because the best university, like the most expensive they are. 40,000, 50,000 a year. You cannot compete, right? And the best professors are those universities.
And the
best
teachers are the universities.
So if we continue like the work this way, we actually, fostering the same gaps and between citizens from the same country. And in the long run, that cannot serve either those who have and those who don't have. Because it will be like unbearable and people will be frustrated. And you can have a massive demonstration, things like that, because there's no way those people who are like marginalized would accept that they can just live like that forever.
So again, so with Haitian Schools Without Borders, so again, you're bringing the equality, not just quality, but equality. Everybody gets an education. But having it online, as you said, are there some students who have internet access and some who don't? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you equalize that? How do you address that?
First of all, this project has like, we have, let me first talk about the quality before moving to equality or the accessibility.
Okay. Right.
First of all, for the quality things, what we're doing, we have a business model.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we are not broadcasting our own background of doing things. but anyway, everybody should know that. We have a kind of business process,
mm-hmm,
where we're trying to put together the best content with the best teaching practices.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? We take the Haitian curriculum from Haiti, from the Ministry of Education from Haiti, we move it to the North America. In North America, we'll find the best professors at the university, mm-hmm, who are teaching those subjects. We get those content, the content we need.
Mm.
And from the content we need, okay, we now bring it to Haitian School at Borders, where we do some segmentation of the work, and we're trying to put some flavor of Haitian culture into that teaching and those content from North American professors, university professors with masters and PhDs.
Okay.
And now we come up with a product. And now the professors can go back and see exactly how we are using the content he gave or she gave.
Mm-hmm.
And before putting it online for the students.
Okay.
And now even for the students, we're trying also to work with a cohort so that we can have some feedback, piloting,
mm-hmm,
in order to see, what kind of impact we can have using this kind of model. So the model is from Haiti. We get the curriculum,
right,
and get the content from North America and organizing it into a modern way of teaching. Okay? Mm. And it should be interactive.
Mm-hmm.
The culture, culture consideration.
Mm-hmm.
With also student-centered.
Mm-hmm.
And using the best online technologies to put it online, so people can get access to the mobile phone or to the PC.
Right. Okay.
So pretty much this is the way we're trying to create this quality.
Right.
So even here, you don't have many teachers with a PhD or doctorates.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm getting those content from PhD in microbiology, PhD in chemistry. I have two PhDs in chemistry right now working with us, giving us some content. We have people in, in English, they have masters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's the way we think in quality.
Right.
Real quality, meaning, mm-hmm, people who are in the know, so people who know,
right,
and master the subject. Because I think that you cannot teach what you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a quote in education saying that the effectiveness of an education system is very proportional to exactly the capacity of the teachers who are teaching in the system. So no system can go higher than that of the teachers.
Right.
Right.
So
pretty much thinking about quality of education, just thinking about quality of training, teachers training first.
Right.
You get what your teachers can teach.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we are looking for the best
possible teachers
to get those contents and to put it online.
Right.
Now, because I taught in Haiti 5 years and I taught in the States, so I have this kind of experience. I can put everything together from Haitian perspective and from North American perspective,
mm-hmm,
and get the kind of product that is very authentic, mm-hmm, and special.
Perfect.
So that's about quality.
Right.
Now, equality.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing is, now we have this project has three phases. The first one, putting the classes online for the four last classes in high school. Mm-hmm. 4 years, the last 4 years in high school. So we, for last level, I say, not classes, but the four levels in high school. The last four years in high school. So that would be high school classes, about 33. We have 33. Around 30 to 40 classes to put on now. So that's the first milestone. Mm-hmm. And secondly, we have to reach out to students in Haiti. We are doing that in the same time too, in parallel with what we're doing, putting classes online. So to Facebook, can go into Haiti to the school, visiting the schools, talking to the principals and trying to get the teachers involved. Mm-hmm. Because the thing is also, there are two things. We're putting classes for students, but we're putting our resources for teachers. So actually they can go, suppose that, for example, they are teaching chemical equation. They can go and see the content, because we get some content. Mm-hmm. We put those content online, and again, the best content mm-hmm. ever. And also they have articles, like papers, research papers about those, how to teach chemical equation, how to approach those things, what are the best practices in chemistry or chemistry education.
Right. Okay.
So we're trying to reach out to students at the second phase. And the third one would be to give away some material, like giving BlackBerries, smartphone, or tablets, or PCs. Okay. And also trying to get some collaboration with internet providers in Haiti.
Okay.
So the students can get real access to a computer. So it's not just putting classes on that.
Right.
But also just go there and spread the news, not only spreading the news, but give also the means
right.
needed.
Right.
So they can access those online classes.
Right. So phase one is getting the content
online.
And phase two is the resources?
Phase two actually is like the promotion in Haiti.
Okay.
Because they should know. The thing is, sometimes they don't know what, you know, they don't
right.
know the program exists. They don't know what they are doing, even though we are like, there's like the greatest education possible, but
right.
if they don't know what's happening,
then they can't access it. Right.
Okay.
And so the
third one
is
giving
the
accessibility
to the technology.
So first of all, it'll be a technology like friendly, so a user-friendly platform.
Right.
Okay? Very interactive, student-centered. And also like a software
mm-hmm.
and a website, accessibility. And second, in the same phase, just giving you like computers,
right,
tablets, smartphones,
right,
and also get some collaboration with internet providers to help them, like give them, you know, voucher and things like that, so
right.
they can access the website. Or even, I don't know, with Amazon, because I know Amazon, they have with their Kindle, you can access internet everywhere in the world, pretty much. Okay, so I was thinking about that, maybe at some point approaching Amazon in order to
get that kind of access. Okay, so wonderful. Those are three different phases for getting the project up and running. So what exactly are the students going to learn? You talked about the last four classes, or four years of high school. So is it essentially what high school students would learn?
We would learn the sciences. So geology, biology, chemistry, physics. In physics now, you know, they have electricity, optics, and you mm-hmm. know, you name it, yeah, electromagnetism,
right.
things like that, and math. Actually, this math is about like calculus math. Instead of, it's not pre-cal, it's calculus.
Okay.
Calculus math, and analysis too, and trigonometry.
Mm-hmm.
At that level, and literature, French literature.
Okay, as you said, and
Haitian literature, French literature, Haitian literature, philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much the humanities, science, and that's all. And English.
Great.
Yeah, languages, English, Spanish.
Right.
And some Latin. I don't know now if they want to go with Latin, but Latin still. There are no like. There are not so many students with, you know, studying Latin, but I think it does exist.
It still exists.
Yeah.
Okay, and so once they have access to this program, this online program, what kind of certification do they get? Like, do they get their diploma, their high school diploma, or do they already have that from the education, the Haitian system, and this is a supplement?
Yes, this supplement.
It's not
for
to,
now.
It's not to replace their.
No.
Their current
we're not
diploma,
trying,
right? Or,
exactly.
Or whatever they got, high school.
We're not trying to fire our teachers.
No.
And we're not trying to do a kind of tabula rasa of what does exist.
But just to be clear, it's not for kids who have no access to education.
Actually, two things. If they don't have access to education, like conventional education, they still can learn from our system. The system is very independent.
Okay.
So they can learn by, but we don't have a certification system for now.
Right.
Because in the long run, maybe that will emerge at some point.
Right.
But, you know, we need infrastructure to give some supervised testing.
Right.
And having a mentor or someone on site in order to do it that way. So for now, it's a supplement.
Right.
But not. It's a supplement, but it can really replace it. For example, I give you different scenarios.
Right.
A student like who are losing classes because couldn't attend because of money.
Okay.
If they get access to the internet at home, they can see the class and still moving into the program without going to school.
Right.
You see, because it's really the same thing and better quality than what they have in classrooms with 60 people in the same classrooms and teachers don't have time to give homework and correcting things.
Right.
Now, okay. Second, they go to school, but the explanations are not quite clear.
Okay.
And
so
up
this
to
can help them.
See, so they can go and they have an alternative explanations to it. Now, there's another way. Teachers can say, oh, you know what? I'm going to integrate this class, the online class, into my teaching.
Okay.
So if they have projectors, things like that, they can use this
online program.
This online program is class, and teachers will be a facilitator.
You're right. Facilitating
the process.
The more curriculum.
Right. And other scenarios. Mm-hmm. I know two of like my former teachers at secondary school, they just pass away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have something like that in the middle of the year,
mm-hmm.
And you are looking for people to replace them,
right? Your teachers pass away in the
pass
middle
away
of the year.
In the middle of some or there's a catastrophe or somewhere,
some
earthquake. Oh, okay, you can have someone coming, facilitated, anyone who.
Can use online technology,
so can just facilitate it, even though it's not like his or her expertise or field.
Right.
You can use that to keep the students moving into the program without stopping the education process.
Right.
So there are like different ways
that it can provide additional education.
Because there are like a bunch of impediments too.
Right.
Good education in the 80s, like teachers training.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk a little about the statistics, but only like 30-35% have like the training needed, you know, to teach. So mostly they don't have it. They are not more advanced in, you know, than students they are teaching. And sometimes just like a small document, like the notes they have from the teachers, they bring and continue the classes that way.
Okay, well, that leads to the next question then. What is the state of the schools and the education in Haiti after the earthquake? Because again, that really devastated the country physically and infrastructure and in all kinds of other ways. But So how is that? What is the current state of education now, and where does Haitian Schools Without Borders fit into that? Again, you can talk about some of the statistics maybe and what it's like.
Actually, according to those statistics, we have statistics from 2010, but we know after the earthquake, like 50% of the school just closed.
Were demolished. Well, they're demolished, closed. Yeah, whether because, they were demolished, yep, the school is closed.
Yep, yeah, because of the earthquake.
Right.
And we have a bunch of teachers who pass away, unfortunately. Those schools, you know, it's like 50%. Why? Because they are concentrated into within Port-au-Prince and the urban area.
Right.
That's right. Pretty much you have to rebuild the schools, and a few schools are just building tents.
Okay.
Try. And again, the same thing with a kind of inequality we talk about. So the Catholic school had more funding. Things, huh? So they resume schooling before the other ones.
Before other schools.
Okay. And actually, Catholic students are like 15-20%. Okay? 10% within the system.
Okay.
And they provide a kind of quality education. I don't say quality all the way, but a kind of better than what the other schools are offering. So the other schools, they 3 years after the earthquake, you still have schools under tent. Right now.
Sorry, 3 years after the earthquake, you still have schools
under the tents.
Okay.
Under the tents. So it'll be like a very slow process of recovering. And also, it's not about the tents, but it's about like the teachers they should replace. So that doesn't mean because they didn't have the skills required to teach,
right,
that it's easy to replace them, because at least they have experience,
right,
to the system, you understand? Yes, they're doing it. So now you have to replace those teachers, and it's not easy. It's not an easy task. And why? Because sometimes you have one teacher, but he's teaching at like 3, 4, 5 schools. It's not here, you are assigned to one school.
Okay.
So pretty much teachers in Haiti are like nomads. They have to
move from school to school.
School
to school. Wow.
And that also affects the quality, because you get stuck in traffic and before classes, things like that. So when you're putting all those small things together, you have big impact on the quality of teaching and the planning of the teaching itself.
Right.
So what I can tell you, for example, according to the latest statistic from UNESCO, 48-52% of kids in Haiti attend primary school.
42-50%.
Yeah, 50. I think primary school, like meaning elementary
right.
school. 85% will survive the elementary cycle, like sixth grade.
Right.
We'll finish.
Okay,
From elementary school, 85%. Only 20% will attend secondary school.
Only 20% will attend.
Of those, yeah, we will attend secondary school.
Okay.
And the pass rate of national exam, because at the end of national exam, in high school to graduate, it's 21%.
21% will pass the national exams, which is the high school level.
The high school level.
So is that equivalent to graduating?
Graduating.
Okay.
Yeah. In Haiti, it's 14 years, but here it's 12.
Right. Yeah. It's 14 years of education.
Seven.
Okay. So only 21% will graduate from high school.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, and now, from that, only from like, if you take the percentage, only 8 will go to university.
Only 8%?
Only 8 out of 100. 8%. And from this 8%, six to eight will leave the country once they graduate from university.
6 to 8%?
Yes. Six to eight students. Students, yes. So meaning the same thing again. Like mostly 95% will quit, will leave the country to go to the States, to France, or not to France, but to the States and to Canada, mostly.
So sorry, six to eight of these students will leave the country?
No, not 68. I say 6 or 8 of those students who went to university,
right,
made their way to university, will leave the country.
Right.
So pretty much it's like 90, 96, 97. Yeah. From those kids who will be able to went through the system to elementary, then to university. And from like for each cohort, 95% who attend university will at some point leave Haiti.
Okay.
To go to another country.
Okay. Ninety-five percent who make it through the whole system.
System, the whole system will leave the country.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So then there's certainly a huge place for better education there.
So pretty much I can maybe summarize for you. So 35% make their way to the elementary system, and 22% from the secondary system. 1.1% will go to university.
Okay.
Okay. And
80%. Okay.
Yeah. We'll quit the country. Yeah.
We'll leave the country.
We'll leave the country at some point.
Okay, so no wonder there's a huge need for better education.
For better education.
Because the ones that actually receive the best education go on to leave.
Yeah, so because it's a kind of...
They can't stay in
Haiti. I can say it's like a terrible loss of
resources.
Human capital.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so then in your view or in your words, I mean, we can see some of the impact this is going to make on a student's life, but how do you think Haitian Schools Without Borders is going to impact kids' lives?
First of all, it's like they have a way to taste what is real education, what great education, what quality education is. Okay, it's a real opportunity for them because, for example, they will go to school to learn English for 7 years, and after they won't be able to speak English correctly. But they can write it. They will do grammar at school. But if you go to Haitian School Without Borders into the platform, you see listening exercise, speaking exercise, and everything. There's all aspects of learning.
Right.
Even language. It's a kind of living organism, if
right.
you understand. So it's not like a passive thing, learning language. It's something that needs some engagement, some motivation, and really you should get into it. First of all, like in math, they will see visualization. In Haiti, they're just on the board and trying to make some computing in order to find how to graph
right.
a function.
Right.
But like using our tools, they can see exactly it, seeing it first before even computing it.
Right. So it gives them a whole different level of tools. And it's ongoing. Like it's going to stay online.
It's
not like once they finish class, finish school, the learning finishes. They can always go
at home and get access to it. And they have videos. It can be replayed video
right.
at ease.
And it's what we call evergreen. It stays there indefinitely.
Stays there indefinitely. That's the thing. And second, they will be more competitive for the national exam because they will have a deeper understanding
right,
of how on earth it works,
right,
the mechanics of writing, the mechanics of like studying a function,
right,
what is necessary when we study function and how to approach it. And also, at the end of the day, if they are moving to Canada or to the States,
mm-hmm,
they pretty much know the system because...
Right, it's based on that kind
of
system.
It's based on that kind of system.
It's based on a North American system with Haitian content.
With Haitian flavor
and cultural.
And cultural, yes.
Considerations.
So pretty much they should be like better students and a better equipped to change your community, because mm-hmm, it's not just about like... it's like universal practices, the mm-hmm, best practices, but also it's about how to change your communities. For example, you understand that sometimes you just talk about like the Pythagorean's law,
mm-hmm,
but they cannot, if their fathers or uncles are using a scale, they cannot see against the wall, they cannot see this kind of right triangle there.
Right.
And in Haitian schools without borders, it's a way like you do it at school, but it's like a living thing. Whenever you cook, you're doing chemistry.
Right.
In fact, I gave a seminar on science, how to use like everyday tools,
mm-hmm,
in order to illustrate mm-hmm science. Great scientific mm-hmm process.
Right.
So pretty much I think they'll be well equipped,
right,
to foster the change Haiti really
needs. So, right, you're not just educating students, really you're educating leaders.
Leaders
of tomorrow that are going to hopefully help their own country.
And later on they will maybe invest their time into this, to
right
reinvest their time into helping others. You know, booster like quality
through,
education.
Through Haitians without borders, right? So they
can be mentored
from what
mentors
they benefited from. They will give back. Whether as teachers, as resources, as leaders.
They're trying sometimes to find scholarships so they can continue at university
right
level.
Right.
And I can give you like a real example for second Reto, they're studying geology,
mm-hmm,
and they know the definition of an earthquake, but they didn't know what to do when they are exposed to an earthquake. So you see, that's the drama.
Right, right.
This
because
kind of
you're
education.
Not going to get that in North American education per se, because we don't experience earthquakes like Haitians do.
In California, for example, I'm sure that they have a module
right
when they are studying geology, and they are studying, you know,
that teaches about earthquakes,
and they do like maybe some kind of scenarios and how what to do,
right,
how to behave and things like that. So in Haiti, we don't have that.
Right. But you will in this program.
Yes, in this program,
that will be
part of
the
training. We'll have a module where exactly within.
So it's very practical as well. It's
practical,
not just theoretical. You know, it's not just academic. You learn about math. You learn about calculus. You learn about what to do in an earthquake.
What in an earthquake? Because you know, what is the value of a great education if you cannot, you know,
well,
like giving you the basics to survive.
Yeah, in the country you're in. Fabulous. Wow, it sounds like an amazing program. So what's your great vision in all of this, Bate, for Haitian Schools Without Borders? Where would you like to see this go?
I see it as a seed. I'm putting a seed. And one day I'd like maybe that can trigger some real changes into the system.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to... this is my secret weapon.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of I'm trying to shake the system.
When you say shake the system,
through the students, through
the educational
students,
system,
the educational system,
okay,
because it's time for us to get rid of this, to get something better.
Okay.
To get something like very authentic,
mm-hmm,
and powerful. And what I'm doing is I'm trying to get the students into it.
Right.
So pretty much it will go from bottom to up, you know,
ground
from bottom to ground up.
Right.
Ground up. So now it's sort of about like you have some expert coming to Haiti and say, oh, this is the way
we do it, or this is how you should do it.
No.
It's not coming from the outside. It's going to come from inside.
From within the country. So pretty much they will get exposed to what could be the greatest Haitian education. And now they say, you know what? We don't want something
from the outside.
But what we see now, we don't want it. We need something else. Right. We need that. So that's the way, or like students, they don't say, that's what we need for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need the old system that keep us, you know, it's a kind of apartheid system where you have like good education for those who have and copy education, you know.
Very
like,
little education for education, those who are poor.
For those who are poor.
Right.
And if you continue this reflection, that holds also for North America.
Oh,
not, in the States, you can see that, like, in a rich neighborhood, good school, and poor neighborhood.
Right.
Bad school, and,
right.
You know,
well,
very
huge,
little
the gap between rich and
the
poor
gap,
exists in education.
Exists in education as well. And that creates huge apartheid.
As you said, it's like educational apartheid.
Apartheid,
which certainly can't foster strong communities when they're separated. And not getting the same level of education. Okay, so that's your grand vision, that it's really going to change Haiti from within.
From within, exactly. From
and it's
within.
Going to go on.
Yeah, it's some kind of an implosion.
An implosion instead of an explosion. Okay, great. So.
And also giving this to everybody.
Right.
So that's pretty much the thing also. It's not like just quality education for this.
For those.
Because we know quality education does exist.
Right.
The thing is, it's not affordable.
Right.
It's not for everybody.
Right. So it's affordable quality education for all.
For all. That's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Because say education for all, it's not for education for all, it's quality education for all.
Right.
Because we see a bunch of programs, they just go there and people can just read and write.
Right. There's programs that exist, but
it's not education from my point of view, that's not education.
It's not the type of education that you're talking about.
Generally.
Okay, so as someone yourself who's leading change in one of the world's poorest countries, let's just be honest, what are some of the most important things you've learned in this project? Just for others who might be, again, considering their own
that takes, it takes
projects
like,
of transformation.
It takes some faith.
It takes faith. Okay.
And determination.
Mm-hmm.
And really, yourself as a leader should be immersed in this kind of vision. You should really believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be ready to make some sacrifices. Because I didn't like, for example, till now, I have to, this project after 2 years, I have to invest my time, my expertise, and my money into this project.
Mm-hmm.
And my family too is also supportive for that project because I have to spend some time, I have to give some time and my nights and, you know, to put it together and go and people and mobilize resource, human resource and things. But also, it's a kind of, I have a branding. When I say I have a branding,
sorry, what kind of branding?
I have a kind of branding. When I say I have a branding, meaning whenever I have to talk about this, everybody get amazed.
Right.
Meaning it's a noble cause.
Right.
And it can be shared easily. This vision can be shared easily. So you don't need to be a lawyer to foster this kind of way of thinking and action in this country because it's self-evident.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore we are trying to get people around this, put people together around this project. And what I learned also is if you are doing the right thing and you like persistent in doing the right thing, you will find the right people. The right people will come at a certain point to help. The thing is, you can't give up. Hmm. It's a kind of life commitment. Hmm. It's a kind of life commitment because it's so important. It should be very important for you. You should be also the first one to believe in what you're doing. And say you are going to continue whatever happens, you will continue this because you will believe in it. Mm-hmm. And once you do that, even death cannot stop you, mm-hmm. because the project will go by itself.
Right.
It'll be
like your legacy.
Legacy to not. So that's what I'm. And also, never think that local leaders will help or something like that because they don't see it yet. Mm. So once you see it, you should go, and maybe once you're walking, people say, oh, there's a way. Mm-hmm. That's why you can't stop walking, because it's like while you're walking, people see, oh, there's a way. Because
because you believe in that way.
You're
going to show them the way.
Show them there's a way to do it. Mm. And but it's not easy. Mm. It's not easy because you have like a kind of a bunch of organizations. They are taking advantage of the poverty of the people, mm-hmm. and they want to be there forever.
Right.
So if you want a project for poverty forever, there's something missing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something missing in this, because the thing is, people should be able to do it by themselves. People should be empowered,
right,
to change their lives. Mm-hmm. So if they cannot really do it by their own ways, there's something missing, and that's why in Haitian Without Borders we believe in education, mm-hmm. to change as a tool, mm-hmm. as a very powerful tool, and we want to give it to everybody. So money shouldn't be an issue for someone to get a real, you know, quality, mm-hmm. education. We say that education is a like human right. I say, mm-hmm. quality education is a human right, mm-hmm. not just education, because like a bunch of programs that have been running forever, mm-hmm. and we don't see the results.
Right, the programs exist, but the they haven't exist. Had the results that have. That are really going to change.
Yeah, because you know why? Because the thing is, oh, they are so poor. Oh, we are going to give them this. That should be enough. And this kind of mentality, yeah. that, you know, because people are in poverty, they don't deserve something, right, and good. Mm-hmm. This is what makes, like, the huge organization, NGO, moving.
Right.
And once, like, for example, if you are, like, in the business of giving some food, I understand, and some... You know,
mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say it's like a hand out instead of a hand up.
Hand up. Yeah.
You're really giving them the fish instead of teaching them to fish.
How to
fish. Yeah. And so that's, the fish aren't going to last that long if they don't know how to do it themselves. As you said, if they're not empowered.
That's because whenever they leave, the organization leave, what happens? So same thing, the cycle.
Right.
Resume.
Right.
Cycle of poverty.
So where is the project at the moment? Are you in like phase two?
No, I'm in phase one. I'm in phase one.
And you hope to get to phase three?
I don't know yet, because now we are trying to get some funding.
Okay.
Organizing activities like social. We have artists they are willing to do like concerts for us, so we can benefit concerts, so we can actually get some money, mm-hmm. a few thousands maybe,
right,
to continue with this project, because I can't be the only one,
right.
putting my money into this.
Right.
So we hope that the community will respond very positively to this,
right.
effort, because we are so far with the small, I would say the very like small opportunity we have. We did a lot. So it's very rationalized the way we are trying to manage what we have, mm-hmm. and pretty much private funding.
Right. So at the moment, it's privately funded.
Private funding by myself, pretty much. So we hope that the community will be involved into this.
Mm-hmm. You're talking
because
about
I
don't
want
Haitian,
to be on
Haitian
my project.
Community.
I think
and
yeah,
the Canadian
Haitian community.
Community
and the Canadian community. And I have artists who are willing to do that. So June the 14th, 2013. So that will be the date where we have the first concert benefit. To start getting some funding from the public.
Okay. And where can people find out more about Haitian Schools Without Borders?
Oh, we are very present online. We mm-hmm. have Facebook. Mm-hmm. If they go and in the search put École Haïtienne Sans Frontières, they find us.
Okay.
So
that's a French name.
French name. Yeah. École Haïtienne Sans Frontières. So actually we have 4,300 followers on Facebook.
But the website is www.haitianschoolwithoutborders.org.
We have all information about the project, the vision, the team, how professors, volunteers, they'll find everything there. And from there also, there's a link to the course platform. So if they want to visit course platform, it's a kind of learning management system. So they can do that. Also, yes, we are on Twitter, but we don't tweet these
so
days.
Social media. But the website is the place to go. Haitian
the place
School
to go Without Borders.
And it's school, not schools. It's just singular.
Singular.
Haitian School Without Borders.org. That's the best place. And is it's in French and English?
French, actually, but we are working on
okay,
English
so currently it's in French, but
version.
It's going to be
in
English.
Yeah, soon.
Soon.
Soon, yeah.
Good. Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Bosse, for being here today and speaking with me. And yes, it's been a pleasure talking to you about Haitian Schools Without Borders.
Thank you, Barbara, and thank you also for having us and also be volunteering in this project. Thank
okay.
you.